If you have your Bible, open up to John chapter 14. I want to talk to you tonight about doing the works of Jesus. John chapter 14. Doing the works, or the work of Jesus. And we want to read a big portion of Scripture here, and then we'll go back and make some statements about that. But John 14, let's start in verse number 10. He said, I'm going to read from the King James Bible. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now let me stop just for a moment. How many believers we got in here tonight? You a believer? You believe in Jesus? You believe the Father was in him and he was in the Father? Do you believe that the Father in him did the works? Then that Jesus said, if you believe, then you'll do the same work. We'll do the same works. All right, let's keep reading. Whatever you ask in my, you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall also live, or live also. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, in what Jesus is talking here about the works of Jesus and doing his works, really, we could call it the works of Jesus, and probably it's the work of God, the work of the Father. Jesus came and revealed the Father and the will of God to us. He is the exact imprint of God's will. You want to know what the will of God is? What did Jesus do? Right? I mean, he said, I always do those things that please the Father. So everything we see Jesus do was pleasing to the Father. And so doing those works, well, there's some things here that in teaching on this and studying this, in order for us to do the works, just some things to think about, we must have what Jesus had. If we don't have what Jesus had, or we must know what Jesus knew, those two things. Without those things, we can't do the works. And so there's three things here, and these are just introductory statements. Any one of these things we could spend some time on. We'd have something specific tonight. But Jesus knew his relationship with the Father. He said over and over, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. The second thing was, he knew who he was. And in that, he knew where he was from. He said, I've been sent by the Father. And he knew where he was going. He said, I'm going to the Father. And then the third thing was, he knew what he had. So he knew his relationship with the Father. He knew who he was, and he knew what he had. What did he know? He knew he was anointed by God. He knew he had been given the authority to do the work. And the final thing was, he knew the Word of God. All right? So for us, we have to know three things. Number one, we have to know our relationship with the Father. Thank God, Christ in us. Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. Christ is in you. You're in Christ. And because of the Father and Jesus being one, because we're in Christ, we're one with the Father and one with the Son. Amen? We also have to know who we are. Well, where are we from? The Bible says now we are citizens of heaven. We've been sent by Christ into the world. We are ambassadors. We're from heaven. We also need to know, and with that we have eternity waiting us with God. And then finally, we have to know what we have. And in this section of scripture that we read, we see, and if you do the study through the book of Acts, and you look at all what the early church did, these three things are prominent. And Jesus here tells us what he's giving us to do those works. Verse 13 and 14, he gave us his name. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. How many of you are glad for the name of Jesus? That name that's above every name. Glory to God. The second thing he gave us is the word of God. In verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we're going to talk more about that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Over and over, you see in the book of Acts, the disciples doing signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. You also see them preaching the word, staying with the word of God. Let God be true and everything else a lie. Glory to God. They preach the word, not their opinion, but preach the word. Paul told Timothy later, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. There in Mark 16, the Bible says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. And then he also here, of course, verse 16 there, he gave us the mighty Holy Ghost. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us powerless. He gave us the mighty Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The greater one lives on the inside. Hallelujah. Greater. You know, sometimes you think about that. Well, what's he greater than? Well, whatever in the world. And in all these things, anything that's of God, there's a greater deposit in us than is out there in the world. So we have got overcoming strength on the inside of us. Greater is the love of God in us than the hatred that's in the world. Greater is the peace of God that's in us than the turmoil that's in the world. Amen? All of those great spiritual attributes because we have the Holy Ghost. But I want us to talk tonight about, if you love me, keep my commandments. Doing the works of Jesus. Sometimes we think about doing the works of Jesus and we go, oh, you know, we try to get spiritual enough. Ooh, you know, if I could just, I don't know what we're looking for when we're doing that. I know as a brand new second year student at Raymond, the fall of 1983, over down here in the RMA, we were sitting there, we'd made friends with a couple of first year students. And one of them in particular was sitting with us. We'd already recruited him. We'd already started playing some tournaments there in the latter part of August, first part of September in the softball team. And every once in a while, Pastor Hagen, of course, we didn't have Rhema Bible Church at that time. But every once in a while, he'd come out and play in tournaments with us also. But we had recruited this guy, and we were sitting with him there at orientation. And we were kind of joking with him, said, all right, we're going to have a contest. You, as people walk in, you tell us who's first-year student and who's a second-year student. And we told him, now here's how you can see a second-year student walk in. Because first-year students are, you know, they're looking at second-year students walking in, you know, real kind of slow and have a spiritual gait to them, you know. They look spiritual, whether they are or not. And they're looking around and they're... Sometimes every once in a while they'll go, look up, you know, like the... And so, you know, trying to be... Doing the works of Jesus is not trying to be spiritual. It's not trying to do, I don't know what it is. Or trying to, whoa, you know. If I can just shandai hokalai enough times, you know, I can work something up. Nothing wrong with praying in tongues. I suggest you all do it more than you are. All of us. But doing the works of Jesus. I had the Lord say this to me. Before I get to that statement, let's read a couple of verses. Go back there to verse 21 of John 14. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Doing the works of Jesus is going to take the manifestation of God in our life. But we're not going to have any manifestation of God without being a doer of the word of God. Amen. Again, sometimes we think it's all these other things. But a spiritual person, someone who does the works of Jesus, is somebody who does what God's word says. And sometimes it's never noticed. I'm not talking about, you know, something, well, if I do the works of Jesus, then I'll get famous and all. You know, can I tell you something about all of that? You know, you may pray for somebody and a miracle takes place. Thank God. But God did not heal anybody because of how wonderful you are. I've seen a lot of people get healed. I've seen some outstanding things. Went to a hospital in Kenya there a couple different times at this one specific town, little town out in the sugarcane fields. And went to the two, there's one private hospital and then one public hospital there, government-run hospital. And one year that we divided up into teams. Well, one of the teams, four of them, went out to this one hospital. And they minister some in the maternity ward, got the minister there, you know, and it's not like here, you know, if you have a baby now, you're in a private room, you know, and all the ladies are giving birth or were going to give birth were in one room, one big room, all in different beds, you know, and the babies were in there. It was just, you know, so they let them in there. I was just amazed. But then they went into, they said, well, is there anybody else here? Well, we've got an AIDS ward over here, and there's one man. We've got one man in there right now, and he's got less than a week to live. So there's no. We want to go in there. So they went in there and they ministered to him, talked to him how much God loved him, talked to him about the Word of God, and just asked, "Can we pray for you?" He says, "Yeah." So they laid their hands on him and prayed and left. Okay, it was exactly 1 week from that day. We were on the bus headed to the airport in Nairobi. And they got a phone call from one of the guys back, and they said they were trying to catch us before we left, and he said there's some guy going all over town looking for these Mzungus, which means white people, looking for these Mzungus who came and prayed for him. He was given less than a week to live because he had AIDS, and now they're discharging from the hospital, and he's running all over town looking for these people. Now, God didn't heal that man because of how great this team was. Right? See, God loves people. And we're going to get to that here because verse 23 says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. Put up John chapter 13 there for me, if you would, please. John chapter 13. Kind of going out of order of what I gave him, so. But our media team is so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Give them a big hand clap, all of our media team. Praise the Lord. What is the commandment? What is that commandment? Well, look what Jesus said in John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The commandment. How do you love God? By keeping his commandment. What's the commandment? To love people the way we've been loved. Now look at 1 John, the epistle of John, little John, as that youth group member told me years ago. You mean big John or little John? This is little John, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 14. Keeping his commandment. Now here's the statement that just this week as I was, I kept praying around this and kept praying around this and praying around this, and then I finally heard it clear. You know, sometimes you get a glimpse of something, but you don't hear it. And I had the Spirit of the Lord say this to me. There has never been a great person of faith who did not live by God's great love. There has never been a great person of faith who did not live by God's great love. The primary work of Jesus is to love people. That's the primary. You want to do the work of Jesus? You want to do the works that he did? You got to love people. I know Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, said in his keys to his ministry and his life, he said, God told him this, he said, learning how to travail and intercede on behalf of others will be the key to a supernatural ministry. Praying for others. Praying for others. Loving people. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." See, that life of God that's in us, if we yield to it, we can't hate. I don't care who they vote for in the next presidential election or who gets elected. Amen. We've got the church, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. That doesn't mean we don't vote. That doesn't mean we don't, you know, do that. But we got to wake up. We got to love everybody. It doesn't matter what their views are. Amen. Now I realize we understand that the world, those that aren't Christians, they're not going to think like the church, like Christians think. We know that. What shocks us is when people who say they're Christians don't think like we think. Amen. And boy, family squabbles. Woo, man. They can be intense. Right? I mean, they write big old stories about it. Look at Romeo and Juliet, you know. What they did. The Hatfields and the McCoys. For you Kentucky folks, you know. All these different, you know, different things. These things that are outside the love of God. Now, how do we understand it? How do we understand? What's the demonstration? Look at verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." See, Jesus loved us by giving himself for us. And it just didn't happen at Calvary. He came as the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. And the Bible says Jesus still lives to make intercession for the saints. He just didn't give his life. It wasn't a one-time thing. He did it before the foundation of the world. It was a done deal. Verse 17, "Whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, part of doing the works of Jesus is using that name and making declarations and making faith commands, but also praying in that name. But we shouldn't think that any of that's going to work if we're not walking in love. Loving people. I mean, we talk about this with team, you know, any missions trip teams that I've got the privilege to lead and in training people over all these years, I found out this truth. God's not going to do anything to make my ministry big or known. He could care less if anybody ever knows Tad's name. Because the Bible doesn't say if Tad be lifted up. He says if Jesus be lifted up. But even more than that, even though that, giving him the glory, but even more than that, God does it because he loves that person. He loved that person that was giving him less than a week to live, his body eaten with AIDS. They said, those that were there said, the man was a skeleton. They don't know how he was living. But a week later, he's up walking all over town looking for somebody. Hallelujah. Why? Because God loved him. It's because the love of God. Put that scripture up there in 2 John. You know, there's only one chapter there, but verse 5 and 6. We're going to look at this in the New Living Translation. He said this, "I'm writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Now listen to this. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. He said, if you keep my command, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, he's talking about doing the works of Jesus. There is no greater work than loving people. There is no greater work of God than to love people. For God so loved the world. Now, you know, we mentioned that we should know who we are and where we're from. We are now citizens of heaven. We are ambassadors on the earth. We're here to represent heaven on the earth. You know, the moment we got born again, you could have been in heaven right then. You could have dwelt there. You had every right to be there. You're a citizen of heaven. You have rights and privileges in heaven. You could be there. But we didn't go. Why? Because God's got people to love still on this earth. Greater love. Greater. You know, it's interesting in this, there, back in chapter 3 of 1 John, he made a statement there. He says, keeping it, verse 22, keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's several things, but two great things, you know, two truths of pleasing God. We usually say, we usually go to Hebrews 11, 6 first and say, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We usually go there first. But do you realize this? Without loving people, we're not pleasing to God. That doesn't mean God doesn't love us. You can be a child of God on your way to heaven and not be pleasing to God. I don't want to have that. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. But how does that come? That comes through loving people. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, please. You doing okay? Amen. Now, I realize in order to do this, we have to know how much God loves us, and that's so important. We have to know how Jesus loved us. You know, how many of you know in the Bible says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, if you don't love yourself, it's kind of tough on the neighbor. You know? And that's not an excuse. Well, you know, I don't love myself, so I'm not loving my neighbor either. No. But the only way to love yourself is to know how God loves you. And to see ourselves from what God, from God's perspective, maybe. How does God view us? And knowing that helps us. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God. Some translations say imitators of God, as dear children. You ever seen children imitate their parents? Now I'm gonna age myself here. But those of you that are more in my age group, I don't know which generation I am. I'm just here. So I don't know if I'm X, Y, Z, A, B, C. I don't know. I'm not Z, I'll tell you that. But it, all that doesn't mean. But do you remember that when they first started coming out with those anti-smoking deals and they had the guy in his car, he's got his little boy, back when kids could ride in the front seat? And he had his little steering wheel there with him. He had his own little car thing, you know, and they're riding. They do this, do that. They play whatever the father did. His little boy did the same thing. And finally, they sit down under a tree. The father lights a cigarette up, and the little boy takes a stick. He smokes. He says, like father, like son. That was the commercial. So if you don't want your kids, the idea was, if you don't want your kids to do that, don't do it. But we want to do what our father does. Be an imitator of him. Then verse 2 says, and walk in love. Live by love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. See, when I'm walking in love, I give myself. I'm not worried. Listen to me. I'm not worried about me here. I'm not worried about my reputation. If you need healing, I'm going to tell you God will heal you. See, I'm not going to have that fear, well, because I don't have to protect my reputation. Now, again, that doesn't give me an excuse to be weird. Ooh, you know, that's not spiritual, that's goofy. Amen. But when we do encounter people that legitimately have things, we just use the name of Jesus. The healing power of God flows. Cast out devils in his name. Preach the gospel message. Hallelujah. But see, all those things, people think those are, oh, you know, you got to have a special anointing to do. You got to be a believer. And you got to love people. Amen. You don't have to love clocks, but you got to love people. All right, Mark chapter 11. Here's what, as I was thinking about having great faith comes when you live by God's great love. So many times, you know, I think we have relegated faith to just getting our own personal needs met. How about if we used our faith to help meet the needs of others? Amen. Now, you know, people get all upset. Well, you know, I heard a guy the other day on social media. Bless their hearts. Bless people's hearts. Nowhere in the Bible, 66 books in the Bible, I challenge you to look it up. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say God did a financial miracle, never made anybody rich. I guess Abraham didn't know about that. Guess Solomon didn't know about that. Guess Isaac didn't know that when he planted in famine and God blessed him a hundredfold. I guess these people didn't know that. I guess that book's not in that guy's Bible. But we need to define rich, maybe. Rich means fully supplied. See, here's the thing. I can't help anybody financially if I don't have it. You can't give what you don't have. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, look, if you had a lifestyle of stealing, quit stealing and work with your own hands that you might have to give. Well, I'm just believing God for a better job. Why? I'm believing for more pay. Why? Well, you know, I got this thing I want to buy, and I just need to make... Okay. So, it's okay if you send them home fasting. Send them away. Jesus said, what do you have? And they lied and said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No, they didn't. That little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I guess they had confiscated it. I don't know. But see, he loved them so much that we can't send these people away fasting. We can't. They haven't eaten for 3 days. I had a long meeting. I preached a long time, 3 days. They haven't eaten anything. Who goes to a meeting without any food? I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet, but they did. They all showed up without food, I guess, except for that little boy. Amen. All right. Maybe you like this a little bit better. Mark 11, 25. Oh! For when the, Mark 11, 25, and when you stand praying, doing the work of Jesus, signs, wonders, and miracles, forgive if you have aught against any. Everybody say any. Now, I don't know where you're from or where part of the country, but does any mean everybody? Everybody, there you go. It means everybody. Against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I know people don't like that. I know one translation puts it at the bottom of the page, says some manuscripts say. They don't like it. It's so tough, they don't like it. Now, it doesn't say God doesn't love you. But it's possible for me to put myself in a position where I cut off the forgiveness of God for me, because I refuse to forgive. Amen. But wait a minute. You know, I want to speak to the mountain. I want to pray the prayer of faith. All great things, right? And when you stand doing those things, check up on yourself and forgive. Well, that was, Jesus was talking to the Jews now. If it was just for the Jews before the cross, then so's Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And that doesn't belong to us today either then. Now, that's hard to say in this camp, right? Behind this pulpit. Faith. You want to do the works of Jesus? We want to be spiritual giants? Let's be giants of love. If your brother has need. See, we can't just say, be warm, be filled. No, warm them and fill them. Teach them. Help them. Amen. Now, we're not enablers either. What does that mean? You know, some people think they're living by faith and God's meeting their need and they're just living on other people's pity. Keep teaching, Tad. That's really good stuff. That's going to help me one day. Thank you. David encouraged himself. I'm going to help myself tonight. Amen. Now, here's the great thing. The love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts. Every one of us can do this. And here's the moment I decide to love you, the grace of God and the power of God flow in me and through me to do that very thing. So if I'm sitting there thinking, I got to work up some love. No, I just got to obey the commandment in the name of Jesus. And then the Holy, Holy Spirit of God flows through us. That's what's going to wrap this thing up. That's what's going to see this great harvest of souls before Jesus comes back again. Amen. You know, I've never met a missionary that's wanting Jesus to come back real soon. They want him to come back soon, but not tomorrow. Why? They all know. I got more people I got to preach. We got more people to reach. We got more people to love. Amen? Now, here, God's part of that is to keep your body well. Keep your needs met. Give you peace. Give you comfort. Give you joy in the Holy Ghost. See, all my needs are met by Him. So I can be about loving others. Amen. I find it interesting that not one place that you find in talking about Jesus. Now, He came and lived a natural life, right? He never stopped being God. He lived a natural life. Don't we ever see where He had to pray and believe God for healing? Because He knew God was His healer. He knew who God was. Now, I'm not saying you're doing wrong by believing God for healing. But let's not exhaust our faith on ourselves. Let's love people. Let's love people. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight. We praise you. We give you glory. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words that you said. We do love you. We love the Father, and we want to keep your word. Thank you that love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the mighty Holy Ghost who's in us. We can love everyone. And I pray, it's recorded in Philippians chapter 1, that our love may abound yet more and more in all wisdom and understanding. Give us discernment in every situation, how to love that person. Let us be known. Let Rhema Bible Church be known as a place of love. Let that be our legacy. Yes, we believe you. Yes, we have faith, but we love people. That's why we have faith. We love you because you first loved us. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. You know, sometimes we wonder why our pastors do what they do and travel these different places, because they love people. They love people. Amen. That's why we have the school here. That's why we have the outreaches that we have. We love people. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, ladies, come down, the ladies, men to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. Brother Rob, I believe we had a first-time guest. The ushers have already got to them. And welcome you. Give them a hand clap for coming tonight. We're so glad you're here. Amen. Come back again to another service. Somebody will preach something we can shout about. So, amen. Let's all stand together. Amen. Well, before you leave tonight, give somebody some knuckles and tell them you love them in Jesus' name, and you can be dismissed. God bless you. See you back on Wednesday night, Hour of Power.